Here is the children's story for this Easter Sunday. For some years, Jesus lived in the Israeli countryside and had been recognized for his deep healing powers, as well as his sense of mission in opposition to the Roman Empire and the stranglehold that it had over Israel. Jesus was speaking out for the more marginalized and their place in the kingdom of God in a way that was starting to attract attention. He was their light in a dark and oppressive world. He and his disciples decided that it was time to show Jerusalem, the capital and theological power center of Israel, what he could do and say to save Judaism from the corrupting empire, Roman Empire. In the first days that they were in Jerusalem, it was exciting. Jesus rode into town on Palm Sunday and was welcomed by a warm and enthusiastic crowd. Shortly thereafter, Jesus went to the temple and criticized those who had sold out to the Romans, those who were changing money in the halls of the temple. And he walked into the halls of the temple and he turned over the money tables, causing quite a scene. And this got a lot of attention. But Jesus somehow escaped alive. Jesus and the disciples were ecstatic. They were shaking things up just in the way that they wanted to. People were hearing and appreciating Jesus' call for justice and his call for an end to the Roman influence in the Jewish temple. The people in Jerusalem were just starting to understand that Jesus was the Messiah, the one they had been waiting for, the one that the scriptures had foretold, and the one that all the Jewish scriptures reveal. In most hero stories, the hero has a hidden identity. His or her childhood has been full of showing his or her powers, and these powers often get them into trouble. And then just in the nick of time, people learn the truth about the hero and appreciate the hero for who the hero truly is. You see this in Harry Potter and with Aragorn and the Lord of the Rings, but this did not happen with Jesus. Just as people were learning about Jesus, he was killed. Jesus and his disciples went from celebrating and strategizing to panicking and mourning his death. Things went bad very quickly. In just a matter of days, Jesus was charged and arrested and tortured to death. And this was not what any of the disciples planned. This is not what Jesus planned. They assumed that as the Son of God, he would be protected somehow. How could this happen to the Messiah? Why wasn't his message of justice strong enough to carry him through? But wait, there's more. There's more to this story. Even after his death, there's more. This is not your average hero story. After Jesus' death, his followers were devastated. They went to claim his body, to roll away the stone, and saw that the stone had been moved, that his body magically had disappeared. Jesus was stronger than death. He truly was as powerful as God because his body had been resurrected. And so, in the end, Jesus won. Jesus' spirit was stronger than any form of torture the Romans could do to him. The other thing that his disciple learned is that his message of justice was strong enough to live even beyond Jesus' death. But now that Jesus was gone, it was up to each of them to begin living and teaching that message. And that is how Christianity was born. There are two readings today. The first is from the Song of Solomon. My lover spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me." Our second reading is a poem by James Broughton entitled "Easter Exultet." Shake out your qualms, shake up your dreams, deepen your roots, extend your branches, trust deep water and head for the open, even if your vision shipwrecks you. Quit your addiction to sneer and complain. Open a lookout. Dance on a brink. Run with your wildfire. You are closer to glory, leaping an abyss than upholstering it. Not dawdling, not doubting, intrepid all the way, walk toward clarity. At every crossroad, be prepared to bump into wonder. Only love prevails. En route to disaster, insist on canticles. Lift your ineffable out of the mundane. Nothing perishes. Nothing survives. Everything transforms. Honeymoon with big joy. A UU Sunday school teacher is sitting in a circle with her charges to talk about Easter. What can you tell me about Easter? The Easter Bunny brings us jelly beans and chocolate, and we all go to our grandparents for dinner, says the epicure of the group. Yes, that's right, and what else can you tell me? We dye eggs, and then our mom hides them, and we hunt for them. All of those are lovely traditions, but Easter is also a religious holiday. Does anyone know about that part? Is this the one where we all bring flowers? No, not exactly. It has to do with Jesus. No response. Who died on the cross? No response. And on the third day, a little boy raises his hand. I know. On the third day, his mother went to the tomb. Yes. And saw the stone had moved away. Yes, yes, you've got it. And Jesus had come out. Well, that's what some people believe. And saw his shadow. And that's why we have 6 more weeks of winter. Easter can be a confusing time. I mean, what is there to celebrate after all? I mean, this is a holiday about Jesus, one of the greatest leaders of our time, of all time, who was killed before he was able to really make most people understand his message and his mission. And this is worthy of celebration? This is worthy of dyeing eggs and having parties and brunches and dressing up and all of singing celebratory songs and praises. It can be a confusing time indeed. The story of Jesus' death feels very similar to me as the story of Martin Luther King Jr.'s life and death, only that I think that Jesus' death was really in his prime, even earlier than maybe Martin Luther King Jr.'s death, maybe as if Martin Luther King Jr. was killed right after or right around the time of the I Have a Dream speech. I imagine that it is the resurrection that makes Jesus' story worthy of celebration. But given that most of us don't believe that Jesus' body was, you know, actually lifted from the earth into heaven, you know, where does this leave us? What does resurrection mean to Unitarian Universalists? I mean, okay, so resurrection is all around us. We are in this suspenseful mythology of the hidden prince, and the resurrection is in the simple turning of the seasons, that out of the dark of winter surges forth the blooming life force. But let's think back to Jesus's story. And what does the resurrection of Jesus actually mean to us? Your resurrection was what happened in the imagination of those friends and family members who were mourning Jesus' death. People who were probably pretty traumatized by watching their loved one tortured to death. How much they must have needed him. How much they must have needed to understand what happened. None of them expected this to happen. They did not come to Jerusalem to watch Jesus die. And yet there he was, going through this excruciatingly slow death. And then once he was gone, they were left with not only this powerful voice silenced, but they were left with a lack of direction for their own lives. They had devoted themselves to following his way and following him to share his teachings. But without him, they were not sure of what to do, of what to say, afraid that they too may suffer the same fate if they said too much. How they must have mourned his death. How much they must have needed to see him, to talk to him. And any of us who have gone through the loss of a loved one know that this time immediately following and even months after someone's death, we feel that person's presence in our lives. We may actually see them walking down the street or hear their voice so clearly. We may feel visited by them in our dreams. And who is to say whether this is just our imagination or whether this is this person's actual spirit still within the earth realm before going to wherever it goes? We have no way of knowing. But we can know that this process of mourning is very real, is a very real need for resurrection, to understand that this person's spirit and this person's life lives beyond them in some way. And Jesus' family and friends were no different. They needed the comfort of his very presence to be able to imagine moving forward without him. And this is what they did. The disciples did move on after Jesus' death, taking his teachings and his message to other people, creating their own religious communities, sharing the core teachings of Jesus' life, the teachings to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your enemies, to see that the beloved community and the kingdom of God is for all people, not just for a few. This is the true religion of Jesus. Now, all of these early Christian communities were created by the apostles and other believers that were subsequently connected to those communities. There was so much diversity within Christianity at that time. Because you can imagine with any telephone game that all of the disciples had their own memories of Jesus and their own interpretations of what Jesus' life meant within Judaism and within this new Jesus movement. And so it was not until centuries later when Constantine, Emperor of Rome, decided that Christianity needed to be the one religion for all of Rome. And when this happened, something profound shifted, because Constantine was not Christian himself. Constantine was using Christianity as a monotheistic religion to unify the incredibly disparate Roman Empire. So to put everybody under one God, to put instead of all these different gods, let's put everybody under one God, all these different cultures, let's unify people religiously, regardless of where they live. And so what had to happen in order to make this unification possible is that they had to hold the Council of Nicaea, which created the Nicene Creed, to have one creed for all Christians. One sense of doctrine, one sense of belief among all believers. And so this put an end to this very rich and diverse way that Christianity had up until that point. So this is the distinction that I make of the difference between the religion of Jesus, the religion that was really of these teachings. And after the Council of Nicaea, I see there being a religion about Jesus. So once this unification was formed, Jesus was really used as a figure to unify people. That was how Jesus was used but for political means, really. The religion started to take on a political flavor that they had not had before. But this whole idea of Jesus' teachings and his sense of mission having this powerful life after his death, this is what I'm really interested in. Because it brings me to the question of what is the message of your life? What is the message of my life? What is the message that you have to give the world that could be larger than your lifespan? And do you know what that message is? If you do know what that message is, have you shared it so that it can live on beyond you? And regardless of how you feel about politics right now, I think that is the insight that Barack Obama had when he decided to give the speech that he gave on race. He realized that he has a message in this moment in history, because he may not win the presidential election. He had something to say. He was in a privileged place, given his place on the national stage right now, and given his life experience, that he had something to say to this country about race. And he was brave enough to actually say it. And I wonder if this is true for some of us, that we have a message and even a privileged place, but we may not realize it. This privileged place may not be on a national stage like Obama. Perhaps your privileged place is in your office. Perhaps your privileged place is in your neighborhood, or your family, or within this congregation. This is what resurrection ultimately meant for Jesus. to have his message be larger than his lifespan. And it was. Those core teachings of Jesus, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your enemies, to see that the beloved community and the kingdom of God is for all people, not just for a few. This message is the true religion of Jesus. May it be resurrected again and again. Please join me in the spirit of prayer. We come together today to see the resurrecting power of spring, a power that surprises me every year, as if every year I get so used to winter that I completely forget that warmth and green will ever grace the earth again. We devote this time to all of those who have forgotten, those who have given up on the power of resurrection, those who have given up on someone or something that they love dearly. Notice now the sounds of this room. Notice your own body, places where there is tension and perhaps even pain, places where there is openness and relaxation and space. Notice your own breath. We yearn to know that even in the midst of despair, that we can take surprising turns that lead us into new life. We yearn to know that revelation is not sealed. We place this yearning into the palm of our hands and bless it, whatever that means to you. Bless this yearning in the palm of your hands. And now we lift this yearning up. Lift your palms up, up toward the source of love, up toward the Spirit of God. This yearning we have is a humble yearning. Humble because it is bigger than any one of us. And so as we lift this yearning up, we humbly ask for help in seeing this yearning become a reality. And now, with palms up in the air, imagine falling in love with all that is beyond you, falling in love with the source of love, with the Spirit of God. Feeling that love move through you and beyond you. Yes, it takes the miracle of the earth's resurrection to remind me every year that rebirth is possible, to not get so used to how things are today. It all is passing. Consider that we are part of spring's rebirth, that we are part of it. Don't just watch spring happen in the emerging green and blooms, but experience it as your own soul opens toward the sun. Let the earth resurrect you. I know this rose will open. I know my fear will burn away. I know my soul will unfurl its wings. I know this rose will open. I know this rose will open. I know my fear will burn away. I know my soul will unfurl its wings. I know this rose will open. I know this rose will open. I know my fear will burn away. I know my soul will unfurl its wings. I know this rose will open.